Well, good morning and welcome to Crossline. I want to get a shout out to everyone on our campus and everyone at home online. Thank you so much for being here. I'm Pastor JP. If you don't know me, I have the privilege of being the founding senior pastor here. It is so good to be back and actually speaking to people. Yes, amen. I was joking with one of my neighbors saying, I think I'm going to start my own TV show because I've been coming into a studio speaking to a camera for so many weeks. But this is what really animates me, because this is what life is all about. It's about people, loving God and loving our neighbor. And the body of Christ is about people. It's not about a campus. It's about relationship and connection. That actually feeds into what I want to talk about with us today. We're stepping back into a series we started a couple weeks ago about a new and better way, which is Paul's explanation in 2 Corinthians about the new covenant. This term, new covenant, is used in both the Hebrew Scriptures and in the New Testament. It's used about 10 times and referred to many, many other times, because it's actually describing the new and better way that Jesus has brought about for us to have a connection with God. What it really means to know God and have Jesus living inside of us and experience what we would call authentic Christianity. Not something that's synthetic or man-made, but something that's actually produced by Jesus in our lives. And so we're continuing that study. And here's my message title. We are all in the ministry. We're all in the ministry. Every one of us. I went over to my office just before I came in here this morning, and I pulled this off the wall. This is a certificate of license. Many years ago, I was working with Campus Crusade for Christ up at UCLA, working with college students in discipleship ministry, and I was a member of a church in the Pacific Palisades, Calvary Church of Pacific Palisades. I'd started a college group there for kids that were coming to know Jesus and were getting involved in Bible studies. And some of those young adults were graduating. They were meeting their life partner and asking me if I would perform the wedding ceremony and officiate at their wedding. So I went to the elders of the church and said, I'd love to be able to do that. Is there any way I could get licensed? And so they kind of looked at my life and character and calling, and they felt like, yeah, this guy is actually, you know, someone who is in Christian ministry. So they gave me a certificate of license. Some years later, I had graduated from seminary, and I was serving in a church, and I got a call from a church in Thousand Oaks to be the senior pastor. And so I actually went through an ordination service. That was a lot more detail. That they asked me all kinds of questions of my beliefs and call and theology, and at the end of that ordination council, I was actually ordained to be a reverend in the Baptist General Conference. So I am an ordained Baptist minister. Some years later, after we started Crossline and we moved from the high school campus and moved over to this property, which was owned by the Reformed Church of America, and we engaged in a process of purchasing this property, I was actually commissioned by the Reformed Church of America as a pastor. So I've got like three certificates that give me my bona fides for ministry. This passage that we're going to look at in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 basically says none of us need any of that. Every believer in Jesus Christ is a minister. Every believer in Jesus Christ has God's licensing to ministry, which reminds me of those words from that PureFlix film, that Christian movie, Caddyshack, with that great theologian, Bill Murray, who said, "Licensed by the United Nations to hunt gophers." Well, we've been licensed by God to be ministers, every believer in Jesus. Let me read it for you, straight from the passage. This is 2 Corinthians 3, 1-6. Are we beginning to commend ourselves, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you're a letter from Messiah Jesus, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. And such confidence we have through Messiah Jesus before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, But our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. God's word says this: if you know Jesus Christ, if you've taken that step of faith, you've crossed the line, you've received Jesus into your life and all that he's done for you in his death and resurrection, not only have you become a new person in Christ, not only have you become a part of this new covenant ministry, but God himself declares that you are a new covenant minister. You don't have to have one of these things hanging up on your wall. You just have to have a relationship with Jesus, because Jesus himself says that we are licensed, we are certified, we are competent to be his servants, his ministers. So what does that actually mean in this passage? Well, in this passage, what it means is the credentials. This is my first observation, and I think it's the most important one. The credentials for ministry is not having one of these things up on your wall. Not having a seminary degree behind your name. Not even having certain spiritual gifts that we might associate with ministry. No, the credentials are changed lives. The credentials are changed lives. God using us to be the tool, the human instrument that he has designed to change another person's life. And it's all about heart-to-heart ministry. He says, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Do we need these certificates of recommendation? Do we need letters? Do we need a resume? I'll tell you what the resume is. It's you. This is what Paul's saying to the Corinthians. It's your changed life and the fact that God used us and our relationship with you to do something in your life for Jesus' sake. That's the credentials. God has such a great plan for every one of us. He wants to use us to be involved with people. And out of that relationship, the Holy Spirit to write a message on our hearts and on their hearts. It's heart-to-heart ministry. I've got a good friend who's a pastor in the Solvang area up in the San Ynez Valley. His name's Rick Soto. I've known Rick for many years, and he's just an awesome dude. In fact, been able to go to Haiti with him. We've done pastor's conferences together in Haiti. And over the last couple of months, we've just been kind of calling back and forth with one another and asking about how we're doing and what's happening in our churches. Rick was a college student at San Diego State, and my good friend Matt Booker met him. He started a Bible study in Rick's fraternity. And there's a friendship that developed between Matt and Rick. And out of that friendship, Matt shared the gospel of Jesus with Rick. And Rick gave his life to Jesus. And he's one of those guys that was just born running. Immediately, he started telling his fraternity brothers all about Jesus. My buddy Matt, who was used to help lead Rick to Christ, I met Matt at UCLA. He went to UCLA with our own Pastor Kenny. And Matt was in a fraternity at UCLA, the Lambda Chi fraternity. And I started a Bible study, and I met Matt. And when I met Matt, he was one of those guys, if you thought about, you know, fraternity guy, and you looked it up in the dictionary, his picture would have been, you know, right next to it. Even though he knew Jesus, he wasn't really living like it. And we sat down. I remember this conversation like it was yesterday. We were sitting out on this bench on the UCLA campus, and Matt's sitting here, and I'm here, and I have my Bible open, and I was sharing with him from Romans chapter 8 and Galatians chapter 5 about what it meant to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to no longer live in the world or in the flesh, but actually live a Spirit-filled life. And we had this Bible study, and Matt said, I want that. And so I remember praying with Matt, and he fully surrendered his life to Jesus, and he asked the Holy Spirit to change his life, and the Holy Spirit did, man. And Matt just became this dynamic servant for the Lord. I, as you know, shared my story with you. I didn't know Jesus until I was 16 years old, and that's because my brother told me about Jesus. I believed in God, but I didn't know how to know Christ. And my brother was like my hero growing up. You know, my dad had died when I was a kid, and my older brother kind of stepped in to be a real mentor to me. And my brother was a great athlete, and I wanted to kind of follow in his footsteps. And he came back from college one time, just announced at our family that he'd become a born-again Christian. And through several conversations with my brother, I gave my life to Jesus. You see, the commonality in each of those stories is there was a relationship. And there was a heart-to-heart sharing, and then there was a life change. That's the new covenant, and that's the credentials that God gives to us. And every one of us has an opportunity to have that kind of ministry in somebody's life, and it's a heart-to-heart ministry. In fact, in this passage, there are six characteristics of this life change ministry, the credentials that show we really have this authentic relationship with Jesus. The first one is that it's written on our hearts. Paul is writing to the Corinthians and he says, you are written on our hearts. That's where it starts. The heart in the Bible is the deepest seat of the personality. It involves the mind, the will, the emotions, and the spirit. If we connect with someone just on an intellectual level, then it's just head-to-head. It's an intellectual, analytical, linear, logical connection. But if you connect with someone from the heart, it's the deepest personality to the deepest personality. And let me just say a word for us as followers of Jesus, especially at this time in our culture when there's so much political divide and there's so much anger and there's so much emotion and we talk over one another and we miss each other. If we could sit down and have a heart connection with someone and listen to their story and share our story and walk a mile in their shoes, can you imagine the power that would have of unifying people and unifying our culture and unifying us? And it's got to start with us as the followers of Jesus. It's a heart connection. Paul says to these people, you are written on our hearts. You know, I shared with you the last couple of weeks, one of the things we've been doing as a whole family with this kind of being more shut in at home is that we've been going on a lot of walks. I've walked more now than I think I have in my entire life. And that's true with my wife as well, because our neighbors right across the street, my wife Donna, she has started walking every day with our neighbors. And they're wonderful people. We really enjoy them, but they're not followers of Jesus. In fact, they come from a Jewish background. But we enjoy them tremendously. And through this process of my wife walking with our neighbor every day, she's been written on my wife's heart. She's learned more of her story and her background and her life experiences, and it's just increased the compassion that my wife has for her. Have you noticed that? When you really get to know someone and you kind of hear their story and you know what has happened to make them who they are and to shape the way they think and the way they feel, it just connects you much more with them. That's heart-to-heart ministry. And that's what the Bible says is part of this authentic new covenant. People are actually written in our hearts. And then he says, as he's writing about the Corinthians, who were the proof that he was a real follower of Jesus and had this real new covenant experience, he says, you are known and read by everybody. Do you know when Jesus grabs a hold of someone's life and starts working in their life, you see it. You hear it. You experience it. In fact, earlier in this study, Paul talks about at the beginning of it when we looked at 2 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15, Paul actually says we're the aroma of Christ. We smell like Jesus. When people are around us, there's something about us that reminds them of Jesus. You see, when Jesus changes a person, that change goes from the inside out and it's known. And so when God uses us to affect somebody else's life, you can see it. It's just visible. People are written in our hearts. They're known and read by everyone. A third aspect of this is they're a letter from Jesus. They're a letter from Jesus. You see, it is really only Jesus Christ that can change a person's life. Paul even says in his first letter to the Corinthians, he says, listen, I planted, a guy named Apollos, he watered, but only God can cause the growth. It's only God that can do supernatural, miraculous things in a person's life. So people, when God uses us in their lives, they're actually a letter from Jesus. It's been great to watch certain shows while, you know, we've been under, you know, spending more time at home. You probably binge watching something on Netflix, whatever. One of the things that my wife and I have watched, and now we're going back and watching another time, is this series, The Chosen, which is all about Jesus. Man, I want to give you a recommendation to that. It is the best representation I've ever seen about Jesus, because it really talks about how Jesus interacted with people personally. And in this series, I mean, stories that I've read in the Bible, I don't know how many times, you see Jesus interacting with someone like Mary Magdalene, who was demonized, and Jesus just reaches out and touches her, and he sets her free. Or when Jesus interacts with Simon Peter, when he couldn't catch any fish, and he tells Peter to throw out the net next to the boat, and all this fish comes in there, and Peter falls down before him and says, you gotta leave me, I'm a sinful man. And Jesus says, stand up. From now on, you're going to start catching men. Or when Jesus interacts with Nicodemus, a religious leader who's so conflicted because he has these traditions in his heart that he feels loyal to, but then he can't deny the reality in Jesus. And so he actually meets with him at night, and Jesus says to him, you know, you got to be born again, Nicodemus. And it can happen. You can be born again. Or the series kind of culminates with Jesus in his discussion with the woman of Samaria. Jesus, it says he had to go through Samaria. Well, the reason he had to go through Samaria was to have that one conversation with that one woman. And after he talks to her, she's so filled with joy, she actually leaves her water pot, which is she came to get water, and ran back to the city to say, I met a man who knew everything about me. It's the Messiah. When you see these stories, not just read them, but you see them visualized, you realize that's what Jesus does. That's what he did in my life. That's what he wants to do in other people's lives. And he actually wants to use us to be the means, the instrument, the tools. That's right. You're just tools. He wants to use us. But it's heart to heart. Where people are letters of Jesus. And Paul says, here's a fourth thing about this ministry. He says, they're letters of Jesus. They're, it says in the NIV, they're the result of our ministry. I don't like the way that sounds. That sounds very corporate. And you know what? That's not even actually what is written. The New American Standard actually has it more accurately. It says, they're cared for by us. And the word cared for is the Greek verb diakoneo. We get the word deacon from it, but diakonos means servant. Diakoneo means to serve. People are served by us. We serve people. We serve people. And when Jesus uses us in a heart-to-heart connection to serve people, their lives are changed. Their lives are changed because it's flowing not just from head to head. It's not just information to information. It's heart to heart, the deepest part of our personality, mind, will, emotion, spirit that's been made alive by Jesus living inside of us, and then us making a heart connection to somebody else, and then Jesus using that to touch their lives because they're cared for by us. We care for people through our love, through our friendship, through our prayers, through our encouragement, through our spiritual gifts. It's the word that is used, this word diakoneo is used of Jesus in Matthew chapter 20. When it says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus changes people's lives through our service. Could there be anything more significant? Could there be anything more eternally valuable than being used by Jesus to be part of the life change process with another person? Several years ago, on one of my trips to Haiti, we were out in the city of Quatibouque, and we were in kind of the town square, and we'd given out food, and we were talking and praying for people, and I saw this guy sitting over kind of observing what was going on, and I walked over. I began a conversation with him, and to tell you the truth, when we first started talking, he he seemed like he had a chip on his shoulder. He was a little defensive and angry. But as we just shared a little bit more, that kind of defensiveness kind of went away, and he actually became interested and asked questions. And in the course of our conversation, he bowed his head and prayed and asked Jesus to forgive his sins and come into his heart. And so as we talked a little bit afterwards, we exchanged some personal information about staying in touch, and we did stay in touch. And every time I came to Haiti, I would get in touch with him and say, hey, I'm coming back to Haiti. And I would see him, and we'd talk and we'd pray, and I'd give him some encouragement about following Jesus. And one time I was coming back, and he said, hey, I got married. We have a little baby, and I'd love you to pray for my family. And so he came to hear me speak at Pastor Forge's church in Haiti. And afterwards, I met with him and met his wife and prayed for his little baby and dedicated his child to the Lord. And then with what's happened in Haiti, with the whole unrest in Haiti and the COVID situation, there's no work in Haiti. I mean, it's bad. And so the Lord prompted me and my wife to reach out and to help them. And so we've been supporting them financially and praying for their rent and their food. And, you know, all of that is heart-to-heart ministry. Whether it was sharing the gospel, whether it was praying for them, or it was financially supporting them. It was a privilege and has been a privilege and is a privilege just to be a human connection for the Holy Spirit to do something in Virgilin's life. That's the credentials that Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians. He goes, I don't need one of these. I don't need one of these, and neither do you, because God has declared you to be a minister of the new covenant. And it's not about having one of these on your wall. It's about loving God and loving people. And it's about having a heart-to-heart connection with people and allowing the Holy Spirit to use your relationship with people to touch their lives at the deepest level. Paul says that when that happens, what God does isn't written with ink, but it's written by the Spirit of God. And it isn't written on tablets of stone, it's written on people's hearts. What the Holy Spirit does is he writes a message on people's hearts. He does a deep work of change in people's lives. He brings emotional healing to people. He develops people's character. He builds their convictions. He grows them up as followers of Jesus Christ. This isn't just outer conformity. It's inner heart change produced by the Holy Spirit. Paul says this isn't about tablets of stone. It's about human hearts. It isn't about writing something with ink. It's about the Holy Spirit's work. Some time ago, a young woman started attending our church, Jada. She's actually here this morning. And she got involved in our young adult ministry. And just like anybody, when you come to a new church, you don't know anybody. And it kind of takes a while to feel like you develop friendships and get connected. My daughter, Ashton, she's involved in the young adult ministry. She and Jada just hit it off, and a friendship developed. And Ashton started helping Jada kind of get connected. And they started meeting together and praying together. And Ashton was a little further along in her faith and just started giving Jada some encouragement about what it really meant to be a follower of Jesus. And over the course of the last several months, Jada has not only gotten connected, but Jada now serves as one of the prayer leaders for our young adult ministry. You see, this is what happens. When we reach out to someone and we make a heart connection, the Holy Spirit uses that and does a work on our hearts, and he does a work on the other person's heart. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is this: that's the credential. That's the letter of recommendation. That's what commends us as servants of the new covenant. That's what gives the living proof to anybody who would watch that we are real followers of Jesus and Christianity is real. It's allowing God to use us to make a heart connection with another person. Paul says that's the credentials. Next, he talks about the confidence, because he says this in verse 4. Such confidence we have through Messiah Jesus before God. See, Paul just said something pretty bold. He just talked about these credentials, and he's writing to the Corinthians, and he says, you're the proof of our ministry. Now, if that wasn't true, they could have stand up and say, that's a lie, Paul. But see, they knew it was true. God had used Paul in their lives. Then Paul turns around and says, now listen, I realize I just said something bold, but the confidence that I have to say that doesn't come from me. It comes from God. And in fact, even me saying it, I say it with God as my audience. We have confidence through Jesus Christ. Every believer, every follower of Jesus has confidence through Jesus Christ. Now this word that is used here for confidence, it's the Greek word pepithesis. And what it literally means is to have Spirit-led persuasion, to come to a place where the Holy Spirit persuades you that something is true, or to come to a place where the Holy Spirit gives you confident trust that something is true, or to come to a place where the Holy Spirit causes you to have full reliance upon something. In 2 Corinthians 1:15, Paul writes, "In this confidence, I plan to come to you first so that you could have a double benefit of my ministry." So Paul is writing to the Corinthians at the very beginning of this letter, and he said, I have confidence that God is calling me to come and visit you. He'd come to a place where God had spoken to him and given him clarity about what he was supposed to do, and that clarity was that he was to go and have a personal ministry in the lives of the folks at Corinth, and Paul had confidence about that because God had given him the confidence. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he uses this same word in another way. He says, "We have also sent with them our brother, whom we have often tested in many circumstances and found diligent, and now even more diligent because of his great confidence in you." The backstory is, up in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul is talking about this offering that he's collecting to take to Jerusalem to help the poor in Jerusalem. And the Corinthians had made a pledge to give some money for this offering. And Paul had sent some of his traveling companions to go and to collect that offering from the Corinthians. And what he heard back from them was, hey, we have absolute confidence in the Corinthians. If they said they were going to give the money, they're going to give it. You see, in this case, the people that Paul is referring to, they had come to a place of confidence that they could trust in the Corinthians, which, by the way, as Pastor Greg shared earlier, we have unbelievable confidence in you all as a congregation. The elders, the pastoral leaders of this church, we're blown away by your generosity. We're humbled by it. When we talk about Crossline, we say, man, the people of Crossline are generous. We have confidence. And the reason we have that confidence is the way you've consistently and faithfully given. So sometimes the Holy Spirit gives us a confidence based upon the track record of how he's worked in our lives. So here's Paul, and he's saying, I've got confidence in this ministry, this new covenant ministry. I've got confidence that God is using me in other people's lives, not because I think I'm such a great guy, not because I got one of these hanging on my wall. I have confidence because God gave it to me. The Holy Spirit has testified to me that it's all about Jesus. He's the only one who can change lives. And guess what? Jesus lives in me, so Jesus is going to use me in his process of changing people's lives. And Paul says, I say that. Even in saying it, I realize that God's my audience. Even in making that statement, he says, it's God who gives me the confidence to say it. The language here is in the NIV, it says, such confidence we have before God. Two little words in the Greek language, pros ton. Pros is a preposition and implies movement. So if I'm talking about my relationship to this podium here, I have a pros ton relationship towards it because I'm moving in a face-to-face experience with it. Every believer has a face-to-face relationship with God because of Jesus Christ. We live our lives before God. God is literally our audience. God is our audience. We may serve people, but God is the one we're really seeking to please. God is the one who's really looking and observing and evaluating the character and motivation of our heart. I shared this with you a couple of weeks ago when we saw this same truth over in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, where Paul says, we are to God an aroma of Christ, and we speak before God, and we are seen in the sight of God. I said, you know, for too long, I was coming into this auditorium every week with a guy behind the camera there speaking to an empty auditorium to a camera. Like I said to my neighbor, I should start a TV show because I'm getting so used to just talking to a camera. And I said a few weeks ago, there's going to come a time when we're going to have some people back in here. And guess what? Praise God, we have it today. Can I get an amen? There's going to come a time in the future where all restrictions are going to be lifted and this place is going to be packed. I mean, every seat is going to be packed. Now, let's just say I'm preaching on that day. Every seat is packed. And I'm excited, just the adrenaline of that opportunity. I'm excited because I got a message from God. I've prayed about it. I'm filled with the Spirit. I want to give the best message I can. But let's say I stand up here and I begin to speak and I look down and Jesus is sitting right there in the front row. I mean, Jesus, he's sitting right there. Whatever desire I would have to give a great message for you, whatever preparation I would have to be at the top of my game as a communicator and the purest of my motives in what I'm saying, if Jesus was sitting right there, I want to be pleasing to him. And what the Apostle Paul says is this, that's the Christian life. We live every day with Jesus as our audience. We live every day seeking to please Jesus. Paul says here, the credentials that I have to show that I have this real relationship with Jesus, this authentic ministry, it's changed lives. And the confidence I have to say that isn't from me, it's from Jesus. And even as I say it, I'm saying it with God as my audience. I'm seeking to be pleasing to him. And lastly, what Paul says here in this passage about this new and better way, the fact that we're all in the ministry, is he talks about the competence that we have for ministry, our competence. He says, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. And he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Paul says, we in ourselves are not competent for this. It's like what Jesus said over in John chapter 15. Jesus said, if you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Nothing's a zero with the rim kicked out. We don't bring anything to the table with respect to honoring God and serving God and actually being competent to be used by God in a heart-to-heart connection with someone else. But if we have Jesus in our life, that's where our competency comes from. Several years ago, they made a movie out of a book about the space program when the U.S. kind of launched in competition with the Russians trying to get a man to the moon and the first astronauts and kind of the characters, who those first astronauts were. The name of the book and the name of the movie was The Right Stuff. And the whole theme was those astronauts, they had the right stuff. You know what God says? We don't have the right stuff. I don't have it, you don't have it, nobody has it. But Jesus has it, and Jesus lives in us. And because Jesus lives in us, our competency comes from God. And this passage says God has made every one of us, every believer in Jesus, competent as a minister. You're in the ministry. And God says you're a minister. It's the noun form of the verb diakoneo, which is to serve. Diakonos is servant. Every one of us is a servant of Jesus Christ. Every one of us is a servant of the new covenant. Every one of us, because of Jesus living inside of us, has what it takes to have this heart-to-heart ministry with people so that God could use us in another person's life in a way that their lives would be changed. we've been declared servants and ministers of a new covenant. See, because Jesus gives us everything we need. It says this in Colossians chapter 2. The entire fullness of God is in Jesus in bodily form, and you have been filled to completeness by him. Let me say that again. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. The entire fullness of God dwells in Jesus in bodily form, and you have been filled to completeness in him. We have in Jesus Christ everything we need to know God and to make him known. God has declared us as servants and ministers of the new covenant. And that's why we as a church are so excited about this decentralized strategy, because we're just kind of creating some pathways for you to do what this passage says, which is build some heart-to-heart relationships with your neighbors, with your friends, with people in your small group, by having, if you're at home, Crossline Home Church, or by inviting people over for Crossline Check-In. It's just kind of giving you some tracks to run on to do what this passage says God has done everything in your life to be able to do. That's phenomenal, you see, because we all can be used by God to have that heart-to-heart relationship. Why? Because God has made us confident and competent as servants of a new covenant. I told you that word new covenant is used about 10 times in the Old Testament and the New Testament and referred to many, many other times. This is what it says in Jeremiah 31. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their minds, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. God putting his laws on our hearts and our minds. God living inside of us. God making us new from the inside out. Paul says, this is not an outside-in proposition. This is not of the letter. The letter kills. The Spirit gives life. It's inside out. It's the Holy Spirit changing us on the inside, reproducing the life of Jesus in us, and then that just coming out of us, and it coming out of our hearts unto other people's hearts. Let me just say something, church family. Just in light of what's going on in our culture, what's been revealed in terms of racism and hatred and violence, we can form new laws. We can try to reconstruct the way social structures happen. And maybe we need to do that. But no law can change the human heart. Only the Holy Spirit can change a heart. And it's not till men and women are humble before God, receive Jesus Christ in their life, and the love of Jesus Christ in our hearts, that we can reach out to someone who looks different than us, or comes from a different background, or has a different political ideology, and we can understand their perspective. And with a heart-to-heart connection, we can love them, and Jesus can use us to touch another heart. And let me tell you, it's got to start with us, because we're the people of God. And it can, you know why? Because Jesus lives inside of us, and Jesus loves everybody. Jesus loves everybody. And when the love of Jesus is filling me, and I reach out to you, and I open up my heart to you, and you open up your heart to me, the love of Jesus flows in that relationship. And that's the proof, you see. That's the proof, Paul says, that Christianity is real, that it's a new covenant. It's a new relationship with God, not based on the letter, not based on rules, not based on policies, but based on the Holy Spirit changing us from the inside out. He is the Spirit who gives life. He gives life. You remember in those birth narrative stories in the Gospels, especially Luke chapter 1, where it says, when the angel is speaking to Mary, he says, the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you. And what's going to happen as a result is that Jesus is going to be birthed. Do you know, in a real way, what Paul is saying, for every believer, the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, when he is given the freedom to do his work in us and through us into another person, what is birthed is Jesus. Jesus in us, and Jesus reproduced in another person. And the Apostle Paul says, that's the new covenant. That's the new relationship that every one of us has with God. It's not based on having one of these on your wall. It's based on having Jesus in your heart. It's based on having Jesus in your heart. Let me pray for us. God, I pray for myself. I pray for every one of us here at Crossline. I pray for everyone at home that our hearts would just be open to anything and everything that Jesus wants to do in us. Holy Spirit, reproduce Jesus in us. Jesus, open our eyes to the people around us, the people that matter to you, because everyone matters to you, the people that you died for, the people that are created in your image. It doesn't matter what they look like on the outside. It doesn't matter. It's a heart-to-heart connection. Jesus, lead us to open up our hearts to people so that you, Holy Spirit, can flow through our lives and our relationships and change people. Change people. God, change us and use us to be a part of your change in others. And we ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen.